All right, hold up your Bible. Let me see all the Bibles. I want to see your word. Good job, good job. Amen. Love it. Look at all these older gray-haired folk with iPads and phones. Praise the Lord, I can see. I know, you can see that thing. I'm with you. I'm with you, actually. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Oh, man, here we go. The last few weeks, and by the way, if you've been to this church long enough that you believe that you want to be planted here, that means you want to join. And you've never joined this church. I told this crowd the last time I was here a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer, that I would give you an opportunity to join. And I'm going to do that right at the end of the service. Lots of people joined on the very first time they come here. They know it. And as you know, a cowboy church has a lot of people that are at rodeos. That's why you see sometimes different crowds each Sunday with, of course, the core group of folks because of the busyness of the, you know, the life that we live. A lot of times they watch us online. And I want to encourage anybody, you know, come and be a part of the corporate church. You know, it's really, really important not to make being at home, you know, your church, because it's more important to, you know, be a part of the anointing that's here. That's why the word says, forsake not the assembly of us together. So it's really important for us to be at church. But, again, technology has made it really easy to stay in bed or at least be able to watch online. And I like that because there are times when we're gone. I watch almost every Sunday when I'm on the road. And I get to see, you know, all the ministry. Sometimes it pans across the crowd where I see some of your bald heads and get to see your beautiful faces, of course. And so we appreciate that welcome. But a few Sundays ago, I began, and really a few months ago, I began based just being led by the Spirit of God to pastor this church in a way to get the saints, which is the born-again people, prepared to live in a world that is going further away from the very foundation of Christianity. And you can tell it. You can see the attacks that Christians, man, you get one preacher keeps getting thrown in jail just for preaching on the streets in Canada. You're starting to see it right here where people are getting persecuted. Parents going up to school board meetings just to want to know what their kids are getting taught. And we're getting fought by a government that wants to keep it secret on how a kid begins to respond at a school. And of course my child is a junior now in high school, and he's homeschooled for that reason. I want to be in control of what my kid hears. I want to be in control of what he sees. And sadly, a lot of you teachers out here are having to deal with a lot of the bureaucracy of just what they're demanding being taught in schools. I'm still not afraid to be behind this podium, and we'll never be in fear of getting a 501c3 taken away from us. By the way, it's never happened in the history of churches. What's happened, though, sometimes in the fear of a pastor is they won't say the truth of the Word of God. So what you have is what we now are starting to crop up in the last 10 to 15 years, churches called seeker-friendly. And seeker-friendly, they admit it, they're a church that doesn't want to offend anyone. Well, it's not that we're going out intentionally to try to offend one. We're just trying to preach what the truth says. You know, God created you in His image. And I can promise you, He did not make a mistake. He didn't make you a man in a mistake so that you can one day decide, even as a kid, that you're a woman. And someone's got to be bold enough without fear. Now, I've had preached a few things that went on YouTube that got taken down. I call that a joy. I mean, praise God they're listening. But I'm not intentionally. And so a few months ago, I began to just get us prepared and try to get confidence. And we started talking about love. You've got to get a hold of God's kind of love, agape love. If you do, you're never offended, ever. I mean, you will never be offended. Now, you may have to make some changes, but it won't leave you so distraught over things that are happening in your life, a trial, a tribulation, or whatever, where it keeps you down. Because if you walk in love, I don't care what someone says about you, it will not penetrate. It won't cause you to have a self-esteem problem. You won't lose your confidence. And then we begin to talk about when you're operating in love, how it really causes confidence, but then it gives you a foundation. In anything in today's world, you need a foundation. In order to build that building, 170 by 300, a very large building, over 50,000 square foot, it's going to cause a foundation. A lot of people on the rodeo trail asked me if we had to dig ditches across the arena and pour concrete. And we didn't, because we were able to go pretty deep. Just ask our concrete man, Ed Mack, and our driller. They went at least 18 foot deep, which hit rock. Well, that's a foundation. And if you're that deep, then you don't need to try to get it, you know, a better foundation by running across it. Which is good, because then we don't have to try to rip up concrete trying to get an arena drug and things like that for horses to run on. Foundation is really important, y'all. Well, what is the foundation that we live by? The Word of God. And the Word of God is Jesus, okay? So we're trying to help us understand that we have a foundation. One week, I began to preach about living in the supernatural, because you as a believer in Jesus Christ can live in the supernatural. Did y'all see those quick hands? My phone almost fell off. And living in the supernatural is just simply how Jesus lived. He lived in the supernatural. The dead was raised. The blind eyes were opened physically and spiritually. I mean, a lot of wonderful things. People were healed by Jesus' stripes. And if you believe it today, that's called supernatural living. I mean, when a doctor tells you have some disease or sickness, some cancer, if you know the truth of the Word of God and have confidence and you're living on the foundation of Jesus, not sinking sand, but on the foundation that's stable, then you'll be able to have confidence enough to say to the doctor, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Now, it's not that you're not receiving the fact of what the doctor is saying. You're just believing the truth of the Word over the fact. And if you do that, that's when the truth will override the fact and you'll be healed by Jesus' stripes. In other words, we've got to wake up and understand that the true Word of God, if you'll just simply believe it, is powerful, man. It's more powerful than a fallen angel named Satan that most people are afraid of. You as a believer in Jesus Christ have a name. You serve the name that's above all names. And man, you've got the power and authority to use God's Word, man, and live by it and see things manifest to the good, not to the bad. Okay? Today, we're going to talk about a word called grit. Because grit, G-R-I-T, grit. Because you're going to need it today. You're going to need some grit. And when you define the word grit biblically, you know what it is? Perseverance and endurance. You're going to persevere and you're going to have endurance. You're going to last. You're not going to be one of those Christians that fall away from the faith in the last days. Obviously, we've been teaching and preaching for hundreds of years about the last days. And we're going to continue to preach about the last days so we stay ready. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to appear. But I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the return of the Lord. I'm kind of watching a whole bunch of stuff prophetically, and I'm seeing it come to pass, man. In front of our eyes, I'm seeing the things that God says, like Russia would invade Ukraine. You realize that's biblical, but yet people don't even know it. They don't even get into this word. You're going to have some grit in these last days. Now, if you're born again, you have to understand that there's a difference from being saved and saved. Because what happens in Christianity, and I'm not doubting your salvation, because I believe once you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you invite him into your heart, and then you believe, Romans 10:9, right? That God raised Jesus from the dead. That salvation, you'll be saved, right? Thou shalt be saved if you make Jesus the Lord, believe that he's been raised. What happens is when you're born again and you're saved, a lot of people then focus on missing hell. That's a pretty good thing, of course. We don't have to go missing hell. That's what they focus on. They got this helmet of salvation on, and all their focus is on, glory be to God, I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. And that's all they focus on. But really, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Because thank God you get to go to a place called heaven and you miss hell. But really, you won't do what God has called you to do if you just think about missing heaven, see. The Apostle Paul, there's a great story in the book of Acts, chapter 9, that helps us understand his conversion and what it meant. Because you've got to understand, the man named Saul, before he was Paul, was a very rough man. In verse 1 of chapter 9, the Bible says in the Amplified, I like this, I like how it says it, because it says, meanwhile, Saul, still drawing his breath hard from threatening and murderous desire against who? People like you and me. Against the disciples of the Lord Jesus, went to the high priest. Now, get this in your mind. Again, you don't want to be a Christian that just constantly is focused on missing hell and gaining heaven. That's a great thing. But really, you're going to be living in a world and not knowing what to do with your Christianity. And it's going to lie dormant, possibly, when you can use your faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, in amazing, powerful ways. You'll do what God's called you to do, but what happens is when people just focus on missing hell, they don't really do what God's called them to do. They don't live a true abundant life that John 10:10 talks about that we heard earlier in a salvation message or in an offering message. We're only focused on missing hell. Now, this is not all of you, of course, because you're here today. And that means that you're wanting to learn and get equipped on the Word of God. Well, this is one thing that we do. We live in a word called grit so that we can persevere and endure some hardness that we get to experience out there in that world. And it'll cause you to be overcomers. It'll cause you to be the head, not the tail, right? I mean, it'll cause you to have that confidence that your God is greater than any devil on this earth that's trying to attack you, steal, kill, and destroy, see? Okay, so let's learn a great lesson about the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul at the start. Remember, in verse 1, what do we notice here? Is he was threatening and wanting to kill Christians, God's people. Verse 2, he requested of this high priest in verse 1, remember at the end, he and requested of him letters to the synagogues of Damascus, authorizing Saul, who's now Paul, so that if he found any men, any women belonging to the way, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he might bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Think about that for a minute. He's living, and all his desire is to kill and persecute Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that today. We're seeing it. I mean, we go out there and we don't even want to pray over our meal in public. We're afraid of persecution sometimes. I mean, if we put anything on Facebook and just promote Jesus, sometimes it's taken away. Or there'll be someone out there that is ready to argue, you see. But we need to live by perseverance and endurance. We're not going to let some devil run us off. Say amen to that. Because we got to find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so again, here's the account of Saul, that God changed his name to Paul, and this is how he gets saved. Okay, verse 3. Now as he traveled on, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly, say the word suddenly. Suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. Then he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and check out this word he uses, and molesting me, his people. And Saul said, me and Jamie talked about this yesterday, driving from Alpine, Texas to here. And Saul said, who are you, Lord? I wonder, isn't it amazing how, I mean, he was so far away from God, and now all of a sudden when God gets his attention, he says, are you Lord? As if he knew. I mean, he wasn't an atheist. He wasn't agnostic. I mean, he began to say, is that you, Lord? And see, that's when God began to change his heart, y'all. And there's a great, great lesson in this. Are you Lord? And he said, yes, I am. I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance. Trembling and astonished, he asked, Lord, what do you desire me to do? That was the greatest question he could have asked. Because see, that's when he got born again. He finally said, Lord, I know it's you. What do you want me to do? Remember, he was a murderer. He was persecuting Christians. He was so far away from God. And now he has changed. He's got born again. He didn't just put the helmet of salvation on. What did he say? What do you want me to do? Because of this transformation right here, because he understood that he was then translated, according to Colossians, translated from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of being a murderer, the kingdom of being angry, the kingdom of being resentful, the kingdom of being in fear and doubt. He was translated into the kingdom of Jesus and the light of Jesus that exposes darkness. And then he said this, sir, what do you want me to do? How many of you have asked that? Because I'm telling you, there's a lot that haven't. They're born again people going to heaven if they die, but man, they don't know how to operate in a chaotic, crazy world. And us as believers have to find out how to live by God's ways. Because when we're down, a lot of times we stay in the rut. We continue to talk fear. We continue to be angry. We continue to live in fear. We continue to have a lying spirit. But man, when you get up and say, God, what do you want me to do? That's when God says, man, I'm going to change your name from Saul to Paul, and I'm going to use you in a mighty way. And it was because of this transformation, his born-again experience, that he became the apostle of starting the church at Ephesus, starting the church at the Galatians, starting the church at Philippi, starting the church at the Corinthians, and the list goes on. Philippi, all of them. Matter of fact, then the enemy attacked him, right? Because that's when he got thrown into prison, the prison called Mamertine, that was utter darkness and rats going everywhere because the sewer was coming through where they put the prisoners. And guess what he did? He preached, inspired by God, and wrote the book of Philippians and talked about joy. 19 times he talked about joy. Joy. Joy in a prison. Rats. Couldn't see anything. Terrible time. And he wrote about joy. Now here we are going into life, and man, we get into offense. We get into all kinds of things that keep us down. We stay in ruts when God's saying, wait a minute. If you find out who you are in Christ Jesus, you're going to need some grit today. Have a little bit of grit, some perseverance, some endurance to endure. Maybe some dark times, but you may be the only light that the people see. The light of the Lord Jesus that's on the inside of you. You see, my job is to get you fired up. Instead of just wanting to come to church and getting fed a little bit and then not really going out there and begin to profess it, man, you'll start going, you know what? What do you want me to do today, Lord? What do you want me to do? Is there anything you want me to do, sir, today? And I'm here to tell you, if you're brave enough to say that, he'll open up a door for you. I mean, all of a sudden, there'll be someone riding horseback, and they'll need you to build them up. Matter of fact, it could be anything that they're dealing with, and just because of a horse, there'll be an open door, and man, they might get delivered from all kinds of things. They may be going through a tough time. It might be one of you. And you just need some edification. And here God will bring by someone that was obedient to say, you know what, I'm not going to, even though my mind can be over here because of all the issues I'm dealing with, I'm being attacked in this one area. You know what, you'll get your mind off of that and you'll be like the Apostle Paul and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You won't be backed away. And, you know, remember, you give your life to Jesus and all things become new. But a lot of people then back up to the days of Babylon, the days before Christ, before you gave your heart to Jesus. You don't want to do that. No. You want to start living in victory. Now, I can go across this crowd probably, and I can probably, we can probably hear tons of testimonies of what people are going through even right now, or maybe things that they've been through, and they might be traumatic. But listen to me. It's time to have some grit. We live in the kingdom of the light. There's hope. It's time you start being happy. Oh, I'm no, not just happy, but joyful. It's time that we not let the world and all the junk that happens out there change our moods, where we can't really change some flaws that we might have. Maybe someone's watching right now, and yeah, maybe there are some flaws, but guess what? You don't have to live by those flaws. Not if you have grit, some endurance, and perseverance to do what God's called you to do. A lot of times people stay in the ruts of life because they're just not willing to do what God's called them to do. Listen, every single person that's born again here, any one of you that are watching that are born again, are called in some way. You may not be a fivefold preacher preaching behind a podium, but you're called to do something in the kingdom. It may be to influence one person that God has for you year after year after year. I don't know. It might be you're just simply called to be an usher, but you are called to do something for the kingdom of God. You are not called to be fat sheep. Anybody out there? Y'all know my stories on sheep because I was raised in the we went through the sheep and goat country going to Alpine. Because you go to Menard, you hang a left to Junction. All of that country I was raised in. It's rim rocks, man. They're all you can, you know, not very many cattle producers up there. It's all sheep, usually sheep, but usually Angora goats with hair. And that's how I was raised. And I'm telling you, wow. Sheep and even those haired goats, if they got too fat, they would get that hair or that wool stuck into a mesquite and they would be trapped. And I'd have to get off my horse as we were gathering and I would have to jerk them off. They didn't have any strength. They were just big and fat. Well, that's what sheep do. We receive, 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 and we don't ever get it out. No. We've got to do. The Apostle Paul says, sir, what can I do for you? And when he did that one thing, he was a murderer. He was sorry. He was a liar. And then God changed him. And he began. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, y'all, inspired by God. Think about that. God can call any one of you to do the very same thing or maybe even greater. All we've got to do is find out who we are in Christ Jesus. We got to start finding out that by golly, we got some grit. We're not going to let some devil run us off. We've got the Lord Jesus. Get that look. Get that look on the inside of you that you mamas get to your kids. What'd you say to me, boy? Right? If my mom was here, she would tell you that they wrote an article about me in a magazine and they asked me what I was most afraid of, and I put my mom. I shouldn't have done that because it hurt her feelings when she read it, and it was in a roping magazine, and she said, you just told the whole country that I beat you. I said, no, I didn't. I just said I had a glorious reverence fear of you, woman. And I did. Ooh, man. She could look at me. Matter of fact, all she would have to do is go. And I knew exactly what that said in about 17 sentences. You know, right? Get that look when you're talking to that devil. Devil, you ain't going to mess with me. You're a fallen angel, and I'm created in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. I'm not some angel. Thank God for angels, right? Ministering and protective angels. My mind went to this place that I'm not going to go. Anyway, about angels. Father, what do you want me to do? See, that's what the Apostle Paul did. All he said was, what do you want me to do? In other words, if you've been knocked down, because the Apostle Paul, he had an encounter with God, and God kind of sat him down. Remember, he fell. I mean, that experience from God, he fell. When you've been knocked down, it's time to get up and do what God's called you to do. Well, yeah, but I don't know enough Scripture. I don't pray enough. Well, then begin to learn Scripture. You know, there's something about not being afraid to learn some Scripture. All that means is you've just been getting in this Word of God and you're finding out. I mean, you are in a different kingdom, y'all. You're in a different kingdom. It's time to just take off. I mean, keep that salvation helmet on, but you got to get the rest of the body covered up. The breastplate of righteousness, you see. Oh, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. I've done some bad things. Well, it don't matter. If you're born again, you're righteous. You might do unrighteous things, but you're still righteous. It's kind of like being married. You're not halfway married. You're either married or you're not. Or how about pregnant? You can't be halfway pregnant. Hello? You're either pregnant or you're not. It's time to understand that with salvation. Get born again. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to have some grit, some endurance, some perseverance. We're not afraid of the devil. He's afraid of us, sir. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. If there's anybody that's not saved here, Lord, I ask you to begin to draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. I'm going to pray a prayer. There's no reason for you not to have a Savior. If you don't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth, you've got to know that there's two places you go, either heaven or hell. The only way to get to heaven, according to John 14, Romans 10, 9, all through the Word of God, is receiving the Son of God. John 3, 16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus, y'all. And then it says, whoever believes on Him, Jesus, would not perish, but you'll have everlasting life forever and ever and ever, and it never stops. But see, the same will happen in hell. You'll live there forever in its torment, forever and ever. Please don't choose that. So if you're at the sound of my voice watching or in this audience and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, pray this prayer with us all right now. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm saved, coming to heaven when I leave this earth. But I want to have heaven on this earth. So I need help. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life this morning for the very first time, you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. If that was you, when I count to three, be bold. Don't you be ashamed. Be bold enough to raise your hand up when I count to three. All you're doing is acknowledging before me and before God Almighty that you gave your heart to Him and you're not ashamed of it. If you just prayed that prayer, you gave your heart to Jesus Christ this morning, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, and do it with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you, both of y'all back there. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Both of y'all. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Oh, Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. People got saved again. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I know this church is real unique because a lot of people come, they get filled, they get built up, and then God gets them out. And I'm okay with that. I will, you know, I've never been hung up on, Father, why aren't people, I mean, as many people get saved usually each week here, why isn't this place full and packed out? Well, it's a different type of church, and I'm okay with that. God brings them in. The right ones stay, the foundation of the core folks. And then a lot of people, times they'll get saved, and then God will need them over there. Amen. And I'm okay with that. I would like this place to, you know, to be hundreds. We have over 800 members, but half of them don't come all the time. But you do. So the point is thank you. Thank you for doing your job, your call. And your call is important. Amen. Might be little to you, but it's big to God. Amen. Praise God.